Tonight, we're in Ephesians and chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first 9 verses of Ephesians chapter 6, and holding some great truths that actually George Washington commented on, and I'm just blessed to share with you something about that. But let's read a few verses first. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." The first one of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached is honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Isn't that cool? I mean, how's that go? Live long and prosper? Can I do that? With this hand, I think. Live long and prosper. How do you do that? You honor your father and your mother. That's the way you do that. That's really cool. I like that verse. Now, George Washington commented on this verse in a publication that he put out before he died, years and years ago. But it's known as this, the rules of civility, the rules of civility. And the complete, actually, title of this is, "And Decent Behavior in Company and Conversation." What this is to understand biblical manners. That's what George Washington wanted to write about. Understanding biblical manners. How do you be the person you ought to be with the persons around you in the world in a mannerly fashion? A person of good manners. And George Washington was absolutely known for his good manners. And so he wrote this. Now, you can get this on Amazon for $3.69. And if you have a Kindle, it's free. And you can actually call up this title by George Washington, Rules of Civility, and that will come up. Actually, this is Rule 108, is right in these scriptures we just read. The honor your father and mother scripture right there is Rule 108 from George Washington, that you should treat your earthly father just like you treat your heavenly father. Because remember that Jesus said there's only one father, and that's our Father in heaven. And I used to tell my boys when they were growing up, I'd say, "I'm your dad, but your father is God." And so the word from George Washington is, you know, treat your dad and mom like you would treat God. And you'll be good with manners for them. So there it is, and it's a beautiful thing. Now I wanted to show you a couple of pictures because some people, can you see this? This is George Washington writing his good manner guide from the father of our country. And they do different ways. They do it like there's way more than 108. But some people through the years have written the funniest 50, and they do it that way. So some of them would include what he said about honor your father and mother, and some won't. But these are things that have been written through the years, and I thought I'd show you some pictures from the internet. Do you have another picture, Charles? Yeah. Yeah, George Washington's rules to live by will make you laugh and learn. It will inspire you and just might change your life. One of the rules that's funny, let me read it to you. Clean not your teeth with the tablecloth, napkin, fork, or knife. That's one of his manners. And I thought that's pretty funny. That's a good one. But he went to trouble to actually seek to bring biblical guidelines to manners. And so I appreciate that about our first president, and I thought it was so neat, I thought I'd share it with you. So with this commands now, we want to get into some serious thinking. Now you know that first of all, in In Ephesians 5, we had the wives submitting to the husbands. And now we go to the children obeying the parents. And then we go to fathers, don't provoke your children. And then it goes to employees, submit to your employers. And so it's a list of different relationships in your life, and pretty much of us have all had bosses. And many of us are married, and we know about the wives, submit your husbands as unto the Lord. And then we have the idea of really be a company man or woman in your job. Yeah, really work hard to make your boss look good, even though he's a bad boss. And I'll get to that in a minute. It's crazy, but that's the way Jesus did it for us. And we are given instruction about what to do with a bad boss. And I'll give that to you in just a second. But anyway, not a second, a few minutes. But the idea here of honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now I want to show you this commandment in the table of law, in the Ten Commandments. So let's go back there to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Got so many papers in my Bible, it's hard to get through it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. So we have the Ten Commandments all listed out here. And then at verse 12 in chapter 20 of Exodus, we see there, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God gives you. And so a real exhortation to show us that if we're honoring father and mother, we're going to live longer, man. And God's going to bless you on the land he's given you because you are actually doing that. And it's the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it. And so something to really take note of, wouldn't you think? Yeah. And so you don't want to be calling your mom and dad names or getting down on their case, or, man, you got to pray for them and really seek to honor the Lord by honoring mom and dad. So, Charles, could you please turn on the air conditioner? I appreciate it so much. We've got a poor lady that started to fan herself here. It's hot in here. Okay, so there it is. Now, I wanted to point something out that might be helpful to you or to friends that you teach the Bible to about this scripture, that before we have children obey your parents, we have wives submit to husbands. Now, I've heard the saying, your stupid father has taken the checkbook again. I've heard that said through the years from different ones. And so what is that mom doing? She's modeling the wrong thing by calling her husband stupid. And she's surprised when the little girl grows up to be a teenager and calls mommy stupid. And what is the little girl doing? She is actually doing what was modeled through mommy. Because what did mommy do with the husband that God told her to respect and reverence, but rebel and be talking negative about him? And so they actually don't do what you say, but they do what you do. Kids copy parents. And so we've got a lot of rebellion among teenagers in our land nowadays, don't we? A lot of rebellion. And you begin to ask, what did they see as models when they were growing up? And maybe they saw a lot of what I just said. Your stupid father has taken the checkbook again. And do you know, the mom might want to rebuke the teenage girl for calling her stupid, but then she says, well, you said that about daddy. And so I've just seen what you've done. Something to think about, isn't it? To be careful about our living with our kids, because we're their examples. The joy of a child is his father. So whatever daddy does, Junior will do too. And that goes only so far, but it's certainly in effect. And so, gotta be careful. Gotta be careful. We live by example. The people that know and love us, especially our children, are watching very carefully. And so I wanted to point that out. It's all in line in the Bible, the book of Ephesians here. And we go down to the kids, and the kids needed to be treated right and look and see from their grandparents and their parents the right example in what to do. And then they will have a better chance of falling in line to do the right thing. Amen? And it's a good thing to think about. Now, with that, I'd like to take you over to Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. Because the Pharisees didn't do much right at all. Jesus called them vipers, which means snakes, because they were such a bad example of religion to people. And Jesus came to do it right and give the right example. But let's go to Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. Mark chapter 7, the Gospels. And verse 9. Mark chapter 7. And we have verse 9 there. And this is all about the Pharisees and how they were actually not doing it right. So, I'm in chapter 9, not chapter 7. Here we go. Chapter 7, verse 9. Now Jesus said to them, to the Pharisees, full well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. They had a lot of traditions, but they were actually nullifying the God's commandment through their tradition. It says, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever you may be profited by me, he shall be free. And so the Pharisees made this rule up through their tradition that even though your father and mother are needy monetarily, and you really should help them, and actually the word here, honor, used in a way in the language to really talk about monetarily helping them, honoring them that way. And so the Pharisees didn't want to waste their money on their parents. So they made this rule up that if a person says, it is korban, that is to say a gift that I'm reserving for the Lord, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. And so he's cheating his parents from being honored and helping them financially by making up a rule that'll get them off the hook. And it's a tradition that they bring forth. And you suffer him no more to do anything or give anything to his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. This is a big rebuke that's coming from Jesus to the religious rulers that were just looking to make up rules to get out of stuff that the Bible tells them to do. And so we see how serious this is to the Lord to take care of mommy and daddy. Oh yeah. Just like they took care of you when you were little, we need to take care of them when they're old and they can't make money anymore. And it's a very precious thing that can be practiced by all of us to do that. I want to tell you a true story. My grandmother, our family has never been rich, and we just kind of go from hand to mouth. And my Nano, who was the most precious saint I knew growing up, she could smile so big and just draw you to Jesus, you know. She was a precious lady. But she had to actually go back to work when she was 72 years old at the airport to sell candy because she didn't have enough money to live on anymore. And in the course of time, she kind of enjoyed that in a way, but she just got old and she couldn't do anymore. And I'm so proud of my boys, all four of them, being young men at the time and just starting out in the workforce. They decided to each one give $100 a month to Nano so she could live. And it was the most precious thing to see. And I remember at her funeral, my uncle, who was really, really rich, he came to the funeral from Pennsylvania here to California. And he said, "I need to thank the Bove boys for supporting my mother in her need." And I thought that that is so neat. And so I applaud my boys for that, and I love them for it. And they didn't stop there, because when my mother got to be of an age, she was still working, and my boys came to me and said, "We want to do the same thing for Grandma." And so I called my mom on the phone and I said, "Mom, we've all agreed it's time for you to stop working." You know, she needed money to actually support her, Social Security, to make enough to stay in her apartment and stuff. "And you just need to stop working, and we're going to support you." And every single boy did it again, $100 a month for Grandma. And I just thought, hallelujah. Those are boys that obeyed the Bible. And, you know, I just want to encourage you with this kind of thinking. You never turn away from mom or dad. You make sure they're okay. And if it's necessary, you have them come live with you. And a lot of folks do that. And it's very precious and a very, very good thing. Anyway, I wanted to just give you that from the Bible. The Pharisees blew that big time. And Jesus was really ticked at them for that. And this is the way the scripture has it down. And I think George Washington is one of my heroes. He actually died $25,000 in debt. And in those days, $25,000 is just a huge amount of money, huge. He was very rich, of course. He had land and everything. But he actually died $25,000 in debt because he was always taking care of his relatives. And I just thought, George, man, giving it all, giving it out. Blessed are those more blessed are those that give than those who receive. And that's the kind of life that lovely man lived, our first president. And so there it is. And there you have it. Now with that, let's go on back to Ephesians. We'd like to go back to Ephesians now. And so the next thing, and these are kind of convicting things, I think you'll agree. But, you know, we always go back to the grace of God and just to ask God for help to actually be doers of the word and not hearers only, right? And so it says now in the next part, verse 4, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture or the discipline, the training, and the admonition of the Lord. Now, this just means that we need to seek the line, the tightrope of actually disciplining our kids, but not being too tough on them, because you can provoke them to anger if you're too tough on them. They will grow to be angry people, and they'll just can't wait to get to 18 so I can leave this house and rebel in a huge way and do all the sin I never got a chance to do because my parents were super strict and, you know, kind of put a lid on me too much. So that's what it means, that the fathers provoke not their children to wrath, to make them angry, and to beat them too hard, to ground them too long, to make their lives miserable. But you have a simple set of rules and keep to them. And you know, with my boys, what I did with them is just I took them into the room, especially Joshua, because he was the hardest boy. He got the most spankings of all. But I just took him in one day and I said, Josh, the Bible says if I don't discipline you, I hate you. The Bible actually says that. He that does not discipline his child hates his child. And so I told Josh that, and I said, because I love you, I'm going to give you a spanking right now. And, you know, spoons only did so good so long, because they would break on his tough skin Levi's. He was one big tough kid. He made an 80-yard touchdown in high school with huge, giant legs. And so the spoons would begin to break on his tough skin. He'd kind of just smirk. And it was so neat because, and it just shows me how much he knew I loved him and he needed his spankings, because he found an old bed in the backyard. It's a true story. And he got the slats out of the bed. There's four of them. And they were big suckers, man, big slats. And he says, Dad, these would make good spankers. And I thought, man, he must love his spankings. He really, really did. And every time I would give him a spanking, and I learned to not provoke my children to anger, I would just give him three swats. And the last one was usually the hardest, and the other two were mediocre. But he'd get a good one at the last part. And he really appreciated it. I remember him coming out of his bedroom because he knew that he got the love talk about that. This is because I love you. And God disciplines every single son he receives. Isn't that a verse in the Bible? And so you and I get disciplined by God because he loves us. And we're to discipline our children because we love them. We just love them and we want them to grow up right. When my grandchildren started hanging out with me, Joshua gave me permission to spank his sons because they were just as rowdy as he was. But I never wanted to do that. As a grandfather, you just want to give them quarters and stuff, you know. I once said I'd sell my car for my granddaughter, but I hope she never takes it up on me. But anyway, my grandson Jonathan, who is a big dude also, and he played rugby and everybody, and he loved to pick on his little brother. So we're taking a long drive out to the desert towards Palm Springs, and he's picking on his brother mercilessly in the back seat, just mercilessly, and driving him nuts. And I said, Jonathan, I'm going to give you a spanking when we get home if you continue this. Well, it just got worse. He didn't think I was telling the truth. And so we were supposed to eat at the Sizzler, and he loves to eat, and he couldn't wait for Sizzler. So we drove right by the Sizzler, heading up to the house. And he says, Poppy, Sizzler's over there. And I said, you remember what I told you? You're picking on your brother. I'm going to have to give you a spanking before we go to the Sizzler. And so we got up there and I got the slat down. Oh, yeah. I kept all four of those slats, ladies and gentlemen. And I have prayed about giving them to my sons, but I still got them up in the desert house next to the guns. Anyway, I gave Jonathan, my grandson, a good old spanking. And you know, he straightened out. And I thought, this is what works with this kid. Well, the Lord said, spare the rod and spoil the child. The child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. And I never want Sherry to be brought to shame by my boys. So I disciplined them. And I don't care what Dr. Spock says or the Journal of whatever. God says, you got to do it. You know, he didn't put any bones in the buns. Did you know that? There's the tailbone, but that's further up or further down or something. But anyway, there's no bones in those buns because you can hit them and they won't break. They'll sting and all, you know, and get some tears sometimes, but that's good. Anyway, after I gave Jonathan that spanking, you know, I was waiting for his response. And he says, Poppy, he says, you give spankings just like my dad. And I wanted to say, guess where your dad learned that? And then I said, let's go eat. And we just had a joyous time. And he was a different boy. I want to encourage you with that. And I encourage you to teach that to your children, to your grandchildren. That's how they grow up. Good. It's just like grandpa used to do. Just like great-great-grandpa used to do. Before all the psychs started teaching us at the schools not to spank your kids anymore. It's craziness. But you have the balance. You talk in low tones and you reason with them and say, you know what? You did this certain thing in disobedience and I'm going to have to give you a spanking today. And the Lord God Almighty tells me, if I don't spank you, I hate you. They understand that. And they understand you don't want to hate them. You want to love them like God loves us. You know, God's never going to stop loving you enough to give you a spanking. Have you learned that yet? I think all of us have. Oh, man. I've gone out to the woodshed with the Lord a few times. And he knows how to do it. And it's a wonderful thing. And so there it is. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture or the discipline, that's what we've been talking about, the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. What does God want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? And many times you don't know what to do, especially if you have four boys or more than one kid, especially if they're boys. Sometimes there's dilemmas where you don't know who did it. And I mean, he did it. He started back and forth, and it just drives you nuts. You know what I did? You pray and ask God. He knows who did it. Oh, yeah. And you get the right thing to do. Now, there is mercy when you discipline in the Lord. And there were times when Josh thought he was going to get a great big howling spanking, and I tapped him on the buns, and I said, I'm having mercy today. And he waltzed away with a big smile. It was the same result. He knew I was thinking of him. And so we need to just go ahead and go God's way. Amen? We're not worldly. We don't go the way of the world. We just don't. We're different people. And so we do things in a different way, God's way. Very good. Now let's go on to the next subject now, and that's employees. And this might be a little convicting for some of you, and because we've encountered different bosses we don't like. We're not going to do another day's work because this guy stinks, that kind of stuff. And it's tempting. It really is. But it's not God's way. It says, employees, be obedient to them that are your masters or employers according to the flesh, with fear or respect and trembling, just knowing that you're really dishonoring God to not do this. in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You serve your employer like you would serve the Lord. Just like it says to in the wife situation, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, like you would to the Lord, because these are God's rules. And so I want to be a good servant to my employer. Now it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, you're kind of kissing up to the boss while he's there. And when he leaves, when the cat's away. I didn't want to call the boss a cat, but when the cat's away, the mice will play. That's just doing eye service to him. Just saying, you know, hey, look, you know, I'm working hard, and then he goes away and you don't. You lay on the counter and dribble comes out on the counter. And, you know, keep looking at the clock with one eye. You know, that kind of, I know everybody's been through this. All things are common to man, right? You can't wait till lunch, and then you can't wait to get out of there. So anyway, I had many lessons from the Lord on this. Oh, yeah. And one of them was the boss caught me. The boss was away, and the phone rang. And it was Sparks Brothers Auto Supply. Can I help you? That's what I'm supposed to say. And I said, White and Day Mortuary, you stab them, we slab them. So just a little joke, you know. It was a big joke, I guess, but it wasn't funny because it was the boss. And that's exactly what she said to me on the phone. When the cat's away, the mice will play. I was so caught. But you don't want to go through that. You want to just go with for the gold. Now, what I learned to do was dust the paint cans. I was working auto parts. Time would creep by. I would look at the clock every 5 minutes for 8 hours. And the Lord said, you know what? You need to get busy. You're here to work. Aida can teach you how to work. She's a good worker. But anyway, so I thought, man, I'm just going to dust the paint cans, because there's this huge shelf of paint cans, you know, the kind of paint you paint little scratches in your car with and stuff, Rust-Oleum and all the different paints. And man, I started dusting those and then pulling them forward, dusting them, making them look, their little tops look pretty, you know, the oranges looked more orange and that kind of thing. And I, believe it or not, I started taking pride in making that paint can rack look beautiful. And the time started going by faster, because that was part of my job, and I'm going to do that first and get that done. And then I got to go out and sweep the oil spots off the driveway. And that was kind of neat, because I could go outside and look at the clouds. But I just discovered the glory of work, the beauty of work, the blessing of staying busy and being a good worker at the auto parts store. And I thank God for that experience in my life. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And so we are to keep in our hearts good work and actually serving our bosses. It says here, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. Again, you're looking past the boss. It doesn't matter if the boss is good or bad. You're looking past him or her, and you're looking to the Lord. You're serving the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, as I dust the paint cans and look, make them look better, whatever good work a man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether he be an employee or employer. You know, it doesn't matter what station in life you have, whatever job you have, you do a good job. I always love that old movie with, I always forget his name, the guy that played across from, and I'm forgetting his name now too, John Howard, Frank Howard, the guy that does movies now all the time, Ron Howard, when he was Opie, his dad, Annie Griffith, made a movie, No Time for Sergeants. And his boss in the army told him to go and clean out the latrine. That's the bathroom. Because there's going to be an inspection. And so he was so blessed to do that. And he went in there and he actually did the latrine so good that when the colonel got there for inspection, Andy Griffith stood at the opening to the latrine with all the toilets in a row and saluted, and then stepped on a lever and all the toilets saluted to the colonel. And I thought, hey, there's a man. He's doing his job, obeying what the boss said, right? Cool. Okay, now I wanted to get you to that verse that tells you that you're even to do this for a bad boss. And this is where you get into Jesus stuff, man. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter and chapter 2, and starting at verse 18. Now it says this, employees, be subject to your employers with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the perverse. Whoa, or the harsh. You can translate that harsh or perverse. It's not forward, it's froward. F-R-O-W-A-R-D, and I'm quoting. Of course, the modern translations have the different translations there, but it's talking about a hard boss. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Maybe the boss just rides you and is just mean to you. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and you suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And now he brings in Jesus Christ as an example. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was there any guile or deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, somebody started yelling at him, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And can you imagine the threats that Jesus could have given? You're going to burn, man. And I'm going to wipe you out. But he never threatened anybody. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He committed himself to the Lord. Lord, this is a lousy job, and I've got a terrible boss. But I'm going to do my job the best I can as unto you, Lord, because I love you. And that is worth gold. Because if you can't find peace at your job, most of your life is ruined because you're at work 8 hours a day. And that's a big chunk out of your day. Takes all your strength. And if you can't find peace there, bummer. But if you can look to Jesus and learn discipline through that for what he has next for you, it's awesome and it's a blessing. And so this is what the Lord is trying to say to us. Jesus committed himself to him who judges righteously, and God is the righteous judge, and he's watching. And he will reward us. In fact, I want to give you another scripture on that real quick. Colossians 3.22. Colossians 3.22. Go with me back from Peter, which is at the end of the Bible, kind of the end of the Bible. But you go back to where Ephesians is that we've been in. And Colossians is real close. It's God eats peaches and cream. So it's Philippians, Ephesians. God eats, Ephesians, peaches, Philippians, and cream. And cream is Colossians. So we go to Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. And it says says this, 3:22, Colossians 3:22. Employees, obey in all things your employers, according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as we had before, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, looking to the Lord, fearing Him. And then it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, like Andy Griffith. He did it heartily, didn't he, to make those toilets salute to the colonel. I mean, wow, that's heartily. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. You're going to receive a reward from God for doing a good job. And it doesn't matter to whom you did a good job for. Knowing that the Lord, you shall of the Lord receive a reward of inheritance for you. And we need to remember this. Who do you serve? For you serve the Lord Christ. Your good employment record is a testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. It says to the world, if no one else does their job, I'm going to do mine. And it's because I'm a Christian. And that carries so much weight, sometimes more than a witness about Christ. In fact, I learned in a psychology class years ago that 77% of our communication with other people is nonverbal. Nonverbal. Just having my nose down to the grindstone, doing my job, doing what I'm supposed to at my job. And that's a great witness to people. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to share with you a really, this is the most convicting one, but anyway, we'll remember Jesus and His grace afterwards, right? 1 Timothy 6:1. Let's just go there. 1 Timothy now is past all of the God eats peaches and cream stuff, and we come to the T's in the Bible. And so Thessalonians is the first T, and then 1 Timothy is the second T. I mean, after 2 Thessalonians comes 1 Timothy, chapter 6 and verse 1. There's this guy named Lee Matthews, and he's actually the father of the lady that my son married. And he gave us this study at a men's retreat years ago. And I went, whoa, whoa. This really educated me about our work and how much God thinks about it. It says, let as many employees as are under the yoke, because we're kind of under the yoke of the employer, count their own masters, their employees, employers, worthy of all honor. For what reason? That the name of God and His teaching be not blasphemed. Whoa. Gosh, we don't want to ever blaspheme God. And this verse actually says that the name of God and His teaching will be blasphemed if we don't get it together at work. And people say stuff like, oh yeah, he's a Christian, but he's the laziest dog I ever saw. You know? I mean, that is such a bad witness, man. But we want to just give the opposite to that, don't we? The good witness. Now, let's go to verse 9, which is the last verse we'll look at tonight. And we're getting close to the end here. So we go back to Ephesians and chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 9. And then next week, we'll get into spiritual warfare and how to fight with the devil, because he's all the time around after us. But we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. And as read this one. It says, and you employers, now see, now he wants to talk to the employers. The employees, if we're employees, we're to just go ahead and do our job and keep our head up. And even if our boss is a bad boss, we let God deal with that. You know, I ought to tell my testimony about that. I was working in an auto parts store in Torrance, California, and the boss was really bad. He was all the time drunk, and he would go to lunch at 11 and come back at 3, and where he was across the street drinking. And so he got more and more belligerent through the day when he was drinking, and he started making fun of me, you know, and stuff, and pushing me around and stuff. He was just, I was beginning to hate work because of him. And I'd pray about him and for him all the time. And the Lord gave me the scripture in Psalm 34. He says, you will look for your enemies, but you won't be able to find them. That's what God would bring about. And you just leave it to the Lord if you got a really bad boss. And it's hard on you. And anyway, he came in one day, and he called up the big boss in L.A., and he cussed him out over the phone. And he slammed down his phone, the phone, and walked out, and I never saw him again. And it was sad. What happened to him is he got cancer, a terminal cancer. And maybe that was why he's drinking, so maybe we should give him some grace for that, to take away the pain. But he was gone. And it's just like the scripture God gave me. You look for your enemies and they won't be there. And the next boss that came in from L.A., he loved me. It was wonderful. get a little love, you know. And he took me off all the bad details and he befriended me. And it was really a blessing. But that's God. That's God's business. And we don't, you know, strike out and strike back and all that stuff and tell bad things about the boss behind his back with all the people in the back room. And just leave it alone, man. Just leave it alone. Walk away and leave God in charge. Amen. And because you see, God's watching over the employers as well. Here it is in verse 9. It says, you employers do the same things unto them. In other words, you treat and respect and honor your employees. That's so important. Forbearing threatening. In other words, you're not all the time threatening to fire them. You don't threaten. If someone needs to be let go, you talk in soft tones and explain why you need to let them go, and you let them go. But you don't threaten them and yell at them. Knowing that your master, see, there's another master over the master that's as the employer. There's the big employer in the sky, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. He's not going to be taken away that you're a boss. Wow, there's a boss. The Lord's not going to be doing that. Because God is totally fair. He sees it all. And he will take care of business. And so, masters, you need to be tender-hearted and helpful to your employees and not against them. So this is good word for us that get to a place where we're running some kind of organization and there's people under us. We always need to remember, watch out for them, shepherd over them like Jesus shepherds over his sheep. And that's the way it always should be. So the Lord is giving us how to walk, isn't he? And now we saw in the beginning of the book of Ephesians where we're seated. We're seated in Christ in heavenly places. And he sees us already in heaven with him. For we were foreordained to walk in good works that he preordained for us to walk in. And so then we went on to the next subject, which is it's sit, walk, stand. How to walk. And so this scripture right here that we just read in verse 9 is the last scripture in the second part of the book of Ephesians, which teaches us how to walk. How to walk with our husband and wife, how to walk with fellow employees, and how to walk with our bosses and so forth, and the children, how they should walk with mom and dad. And it's just the way to do it. And you know, as we follow these things and teach these things, he that teaches these things shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Coming from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke, that's exactly what he said. He that does and teaches these things that we're learning will shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And that is a wonderful blessing. Amen. Amen. So, very, very good. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have Donna and the girls come on up and sing another song. So let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's lovely. It's, Lord, it's just blessed. Thank you for George Washington, our first president, who wanted to teach us about the manners that we should have from you. And that's precious, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can actually follow after you, Lord, and ask to be empowered of you, Lord, in all these things. So thank you, Father, and we praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to stand together? Beautiful, beautiful. Good to see you guys. Hey, Mike and Eunice, could you guys go in the prayer room tonight and pray for some people that need prayer? Thank you so much. So they'll be over there in the prayer room if you need some prayer. And may the Lord bless you and God keep you and really strengthen you in the things of the Lord to watch what he can do with you and your family, your precious family. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.